Lord, turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to break off tonight from the subject I have been dealing with on spiritual gifts. And I want to go ahead and share a message here tonight from 1 Kings chapter 17. And while you're turning there, let me say that I am very much looking forward to Vacation Bible School. It's always a highlight every year. It's a great thing to look forward to in the summertime. You say, well, maybe you're not a part of Vacation, but I'll tell you what, it'd be worth just coming by and watching what's going on. If you're not assigned to anything, just come and see all the things that are going to be happening. And we're excited. We've already got a number of children that have registered. Yesterday, we went out and did some calling, and I stopped by a couple of families and invited some to come by for Vacation Bible School. And we're looking forward to a great time. The Incredible Race is what it is. And really want to say thank you to Scott and Karen for the work that they're doing and leading this and getting folks. You know, I'm hearing more and more, boy, I can't say no to Scott. You know, Scott comes by and asks me something. I just can't say no to him. You know, I have noticed, though, a lot of people, when Scott comes in the door, you guys kind of go out the other way. You know what I mean? But no, I'm just kidding. But we appreciate the recruitment that has gone on, and a lot of hands are a part of this, but truly, many hands make light work, and I'm thankful as a pastor to be able to have folks like this help out, and it's a great thing. 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to speak tonight on this subject: when circumstances of life do not make sense, trust God. When circumstances of life do not make sense, trust God. I want you to look at verse number 1, 1 Kings chapter 17. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, you know, I'll be honest with you, if I was that widow woman, I would have said, preacher or no preacher, I'm gathering this for myself. Forget you. But she was obedient here and followed through. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. What an audacious request here. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Isn't that amazing? God's word proves true over and over. All you have to do is trust him. And I want to say that when the circumstances of life do not make sense to you, it's simply our job to go ahead and trust the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. May you speak to us through thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a subject tonight really about faith in God and what God can do. You know, I'm mindful when I read a passage like this of a verse in the book of Hebrews, when Hebrews chapter 11 introduces to us all of the heroes of faith. It says in verse number 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now think about that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now there are many that do not understand this. In fact, there are many probably even in this auditorium tonight who, when a statement like that is made, you think to yourself, how is something like that even possible? I mean, we tend to think that, well, look, I attend church, I read my Bible, I pass tracts out, I witness where I can. Is that not pleasing to God? And yes, in and of themselves, those things are pleasing to God. Those things are well and good, and God is pleased with that. But may I say that God isn't impressed with your able to just quote his word back to him. God is not pleased necessarily and impressed with the fact that you have a great memory. God is not impressed just by the fact that you come to church on Sunday mornings. God, very simply, is pleased, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, with the faith that you and I demonstrate in this life. And tonight, as I talk about this particular subject of Elijah, I am mindful of the fact that God allows certain things in our life to take place so he can test us and bring us to a place where we have nothing to do but to trust in him. You see, you and I look at some of the things that go on in our life and we often say, God, why did you allow this to happen? God, why did this struggle come along? Why did this trouble happen in my life? And may I remind you tonight that there are no accidents with God. God is a God who orchestrates things in our lives. He allows things to happen in our life because he is giving us an opportunity to go ahead and demonstrate our faith that we may please him. You see, I believe that God allows struggles in our life. He orchestrates, he navigates, he arranges opportunities in order that we may please him when we exercise faith. You see, every obstacle, when you exercise faith, can be turned into an opportunity. Every burden that comes about in your life when you exercise faith can be turned into a blessing. Every problem turned into a possibility. The junk of this world can be turned into the jewels of heaven. The trash of your life that has so belabored you can be turned into a triumph. And the mess that is in your life can be used to become a message that points out to other people. But it all comes when you exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are gaps in our lives and pieces in our puzzle of life that don't make sense to us. And sometimes we look at that and we go, well, why would God do something like this? Why would God navigate my life in such a way? And my friend, I'm just here to remind you that when you see the gaps and things don't seem to make sense, that's truly where God is. That's where you find God. How important it is for you to step back and say, I may not understand it, I may not know how to put it all together, but I'm going to trust in God. Some of you may be here and say, well, I don't understand why I had a parent leave me as a child. Well, God wants you to step up and have faith in him. Some of you may not understand why your parents treated you in a certain way, but that was so you could go ahead and have faith in God. Some of you may not understand why you had struggles early on as you were growing up, but that's where it came for you to trust in God. God is the writer of the script of my life. I'm sorry that it may not have turned out the way that you thought it should have. Maybe you've been hurt, abused, battered, and violated. But my friend, God is here to right every wrong and to bring you to a place where you can ultimately please him and bring glory to him and have faith in God. God has called us to live a life of faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, "The just shall live by faith." God orchestrates events in our lives. Romans chapter 5, He brings experiences and struggles in our life so that way there can be hope brought out in our life. That word hope in Romans chapter 5, verse number 4, is this very word, confidence. It's another word for the word faith. And so tonight I want to challenge you to be able to trust in God in all circumstances. Faith is not all about a formula. You know, sometimes we look and we go, well, if I do things this way and I kind of take care of things this way, my friend, don't try to think things out. You trust God and let Him take care of it. Faith is not all about a feeling. It's not a formula. It's you simply trusting God and letting Him take care of things. When we come to this passage in 1 Kings chapter 17, we're introduced to a man who is going to be greatly used of God. This man's going to stand up to the king of his day who's been living wickedly. This man is going to go ahead and call down fire from heaven. This man is going to stand for the great truths of the Word of God. But before any of those things happen in his life, God is going to test him to make sure that he is a man who truly does trust God. You know, it was only about 50 years after Solomon that a wicked king by the name of Ahab rose to power. The once peaceful nation had now been torn apart by warfare, both from within and without. They had split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and of the six kings that had ruled in Israel, three of them had already been murdered. Now, to complicate a matter, Baal, which was a Canaanite god that was often linked to rain, had been worshipped in the land of Israel by all the people there in that time. God had come to a place where enough was enough. If the people wanted to worship this Baal, then go ahead and let Baal provide the rains. And in this theological, spiritual mess is when God raises up this man by the name of Elijah to go ahead and lead forth in this area of faith. Now, we know of Elijah as a great man. In our passage, we read of him telling the king that it'll not rain for 3 years. We read of him raising the widow's son. We read of him standing up to the prophets of Baal. But before he becomes this great man that God truly could use, God had to put him through some tests and exercise his faith. God is going to bring you through some circumstances to show you His will and His way and ask you to trust Him completely. I want to give three principles from this passage tonight that I believe will help all of us here tonight when it comes to this area of faith. Number one, principle number one, believe that God will meet our needs. Believe that God will meet our needs. God may place you in a situation where you need to trust Him for the very daily provision. And if that's the case, trust God. God had brought Elijah through some very trying circumstances, and it's amazing that He brought him to this place to where Elijah had to trust God for even his daily sustenance. You see, when things are going well, it's easy for us to praise God, isn't it? When we got our bread is buttered for us, when the cars are running, nothing's broken down in the home, everything's going smoothly with our family, it's easy for us to go ahead and say, well, I trust God. But it's when the things of daily life begin to break down and God brings us to a situation that we need to trust Him to provide something, that's the point where God says, you look up and trust me and I will provide. You see, when God asks us to trust Him even for daily provision, what is He trying to do for us? He's trying to get us to not depend on ourselves and to depend on Him. Think of what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5 says. The Bible says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know, it's easy to take for granted that the daily things we have of this life. And we almost have in our mind, well, I have all of the fuel for my vehicles because I provide it. And the food is because I go out and purchase that food. And this house is mine because I've provided for it. And we get this sense of this mentality that we have brought all these things of our own working. And sometimes God has to shake us up a little bit and bring us to a place to where we realize that everything we have in this life is truly given to us by God. And that's where we ought to be living. We ought not to be living that we have everything ourselves and we've provided it. You know, the Bible reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, He says, take no thought for the morrow of what's going to be taken, all the things that are going to happen tomorrow. He says, let those things take care of themselves. But He says, recognize this, that God, if He takes care of the birds that are in the trees, and He takes care of all of these things, shall not God also take care of you? And the answer is, absolutely He will. God will take care of us. Because if God can provide for those birds and make sure that they don't fall. And I think about all those birds, boy, that come around and just how God provides for every one of them. And yet God can provide for us. Does not God know the very numbers of the hairs on your head? For some, that's easy. But God can go through. And He can count through every one of the hairs on your head, and He knows exactly what's there, and He knows how to provide for you. God knows. And I think of this man, Elijah, who's brought into a place where he's sent down to a brook to get his daily sustenance. And as he's brought to this brook, here the ravens are feeding him every morning, every night. And all of a sudden, the brook dries up. Isn't that amazing? God, why did you leave me here? Why did you bring me to this brook? I mean, could not have I been to another place? Could you not have brought me somewhere else? But the brook dries up. And yet God says to him, you trust me for the daily sustenance of life, and I will take care of you. It might have been that Elijah was getting comfortable. It might have been that he needed to learn some new lessons of life. But for a year, possibly, theologians have said that it might have been a year that he was there at this river and he was trusting in God. And then God says, all right, it's time to dry the brook up because I don't want you to rely on the birds. I don't want you to rely on the brook. I want you to rely on me. Boy, I learned that lesson a very long time ago when it came to being in school and paying for my college bill and watching how God provided for my very bill to pay for school. I'll tell you, every zero that was on that, you could have put any number of zeros or taken any number of zeros away, and it still would have been a big number to me. And I'll never forget watching through every semester how God didn't just go ahead and give me everything right up front. You know, that would have been nice. God, just give me the $25,000, $30,000 I need right up front, and let's get all this paid for. You know why God didn't do that? Because he wanted me to trust him every semester. He wanted me to realize that that provision was not of me, it was of him. And every semester that I came through and didn't know whether I could go back for the next semester, God came through and provided. God did that. And I want to challenge you today in your living. Trust God right where you're at. Some circumstances may come about in your life, some things may happen, but you know God is orchestrating all that because he very simply wants you to trust him. Number two principle I want you to grab hold of is found in verses 8 as he goes to Zarephath. I want you to notice that if we're to have faith in God and trust him, we're to believe that God's way is best for us. Principle number one, believe that God will meet our needs. But number two, believe that God's way is best for us. You know, God now may go ahead and lead you in a direction that you may not know why he's leading you this direction, but by faith, simply trust him. You know, God tells Elijah, all right, Elijah, this brook is dried up. Time for you to go. And out of all places he leads him to a place known as Zarephath. Now, if you understand anything about Zarephath, first of all, this is the place from which the wicked queen Jezebel was from. Ahab was the king. Ahab married this godless woman by the name of Jezebel, and she was from that place. And out of all cities, out of all places, God says, go to Zarephath? Sure, go there. Now, sometimes God's going to ask us to do something, and it doesn't make sense to us. Why am I to go there? Why am I to do this? But understand that God's will is best in our life. God led him to Zarephath because if you understand what Zarephath is all about, you'll understand what God was doing in his life. The word Zarephath in the Hebrew, the root of the word means the process of refining metals. The process of refining metals. And literally, there were two things that God was trying to do with Elijah that God also is trying to do with us when he leads us in a certain direction. You see, God wanted to refine Elijah, and God wants to refine us. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. You know what God was doing? He was bringing Elijah to that very place because he said, Elijah, he says, I want to refine you. I want all impurities out of your life, and that's why I'm leading you to this very place. But also, he led him to this place of Zarephath because he wanted his own word to be put to the test. How many times has God asked us to do something? And we've refused. We've said no. We've kind of stepped back on God. I want to encourage you that when God challenges you about something, put his word to the test. Psalm 119, verse 140, thy word is very pure. That means it's refined, it's tested. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Psalm chapter 12, verse 8, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. May I remind you of the significance of Zarephath to Elijah? This place was a heathen place, very contrary to what he knew and believed, but yet it was the place that God was leading Elijah to. Oh, sure, many idols were worshipped here, including the god known as Baal, the rain god. This is where Jezebel was from, but it was a place where God was leading him, because it was also in this place that there was a widow woman who God was taking care of. And God was bringing Elijah to this very place to see that in this heathen, godless area where he was taking care of this widow woman, God could also take care of this man of God. And he had to recognize that the word of the Lord was going to refine him and test him. What's the significance of Zarephath to you and me? God's going to bring you to a place or a point in your life where he'll refine you. You know what God wants to do in your life? God wants to take out all those impurities in your life. And God wants to bring you to a place where you can be used by him. I wouldn't choose all the things that I go through in this life for God to go ahead and mold and shape me. But God has, in his divine will, has brought me to the place because he wants me to trust him, and he wants me to be the person that he can best use. I think about a man that I knew while I was in college, a pastor by the name of John Vaughn. John Vaughn was pastoring a church just outside of Greenville, South Carolina, in Taylor's, named Faith Baptist Church. The ministry was growing. God was blessing in a great way, and John and his wife and their little children, just amazing to see what God was doing. And one day there was a fire in their house. John was not home, but Debbie had gotten out, but had suffered some severe burns. And the one who had gotten the most burns was their little daughter, and I can't remember her name right now, right offhand. But she suffered some severe burns. And it was a result of the tragedy that this family had gone through that they then established a Christian school for children who were handicapped. God used and is today using that Christian school in a wonderful way, but it would have never come into existence if that fire had not happened. I think also about a man that God has greatly used in regards to children's music ministry. It was back in the mid to late 70s that a young man who had just finished college by the name of Ron Hamilton had gotten cancer in one of his eyes. He'd gone to the doctor. The doctor said, "Look, there's nothing I can do." He says, "We're going to have to remove one of the eyes." Now you think about what type of tragedy that would be. You think about what you'd have to face and what you'd have to go through in the fact that you'd be limited in your vision having one eye removed. But here it was the following time when he was able to get back to church, naturally to cover up a little bit of that ugliness. He went ahead and put a patch over his eye. As he got into church, all these kids began to circle around him, started labeling him Patch the Pirate. And it was from there that the whole Patch the Pirate musical series came through, character building CDs that were used in a great way. I remember listening to them when I was a child, just in the early 80s. The first one that came out was on Jonah. I'll never forget it. It was on a... Believe it or not, I still remember. It was on a record. My mom bought it for Christmas on a record. I remember sitting there and listening to it in our living room. But you know, Patch the Pirate would have never come along if it had not been through the tragedy it had been through. God allowed that tragedy to happen so God could refine him and use him in a great way. But you know what? He had to step out by faith. Now, what is it that you're going through? What's the Zarephath in your life? What's the place that God has led you to that he's refining you? You say, "Preacher, I'm trying to buck this whole system. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm trying to break loose because I don't like where I'm at." Well, neither do I sometimes. But God is bringing us, leading us to this very city because he wants to refine us. And he wants us to come forth as gold and trust him. And my friend, you need faith in God. God is leading you to the very place so you will trust him. Oh, we could go on with illustration after illustration. I think about the lady who was paralyzed because of a diving accident, Johnny Erickson Tada. Think about it. There's a lady that has no use of her hands, her legs, but she'd put every one of us to shame with what she's contributed to Christianity. The woman paints with her mouth. I mean, I can't even paint good with two hands. Forget putting a brush in my mouth and trying to do anything. This woman has got it set up in a vehicle that she can drive herself in a certain way. She's able to do certain things, and God has brought her. But you know what? She decided that whatever she was going through, she was going to trust God. God put her through the fire. God's putting you through the fire. And through that will come some good if you'll trust him. I've shared this before, but I think it's a very pertinent illustration. Many of you are familiar with the Yellowstone fires that took place in 1988. It was the largest recorded wildfire in history of the Yellowstone National Park. The fires destroyed two of the major visitor destinations, and on September 8, 1988, the entire park was closed down except to all non-emergency personnel for the first time in its history. Only until the cool and moist weather in the late fall did the fire come to an end. And when they did come to an end and everything was tallied, almost 800,000 acres or 36% of the park was affected by the wildfire. But would you know it, that something very interesting took place. And there was a certain strain of jack pine trees that began to emerge shortly after the fire. The seeds of this particular pine that are within those cones cannot be released unless put under intense heat. Well, think about that. God is putting you through the heat. God is testing you right now. Sometimes you say, boy, I wish it was cooler in here. I wish it wasn't so hot. I wish it wasn't so hurtful, these things. But it's only through that something good can come forth. Will you trust in God? The last thing I want you to see, and this applies to the widow woman that we read beginning in verse number 10 and 11 down to verse 16. Principle number 3, believe that God's commands become promises. You know, God may ask you to do something that you can't even comprehend doing. By faith, do it and believe him. And I believe this is where we see the woman, widow woman, tested. Now, I know I shared it in my reading, but think of the audacity of this preacher coming by. First of all, it's a widow. She has no backup resources. She's preparing her last meal. And this preacher comes along and says, I tell you what, before you and your son eat, why don't you bring me some water first? Why don't you go ahead and bring me a meal first? And I'll tell you what, you go ahead and do that, and you'll find that God will not allow the cruse of oil to be depleted. He'll not allow the barrel of food to go ahead and be wasted. There'll be plenty for you, but you do this first. What kind of command is that? I don't know about you, but in my little brain here, I think to myself, now look, I know you're hungry and I'm hungry, but this is all I got right here, and I'm going to go ahead and take this because I don't see any other food out there, and I don't know where I'm going to be able to provide for anything else, so I'll take this, and we'll go ahead and plan for another day on this. I mean, that would be my thinking. But instead, this widow woman is asked to go ahead and trust God and trust this prophet. And when she does trust God, then things will be provided. Now, my friend, that's the way faith works. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, the Bible tells us, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You see, for this widow woman, what was in her sight was one last meal. That was it. And she was asked to give that meal up. But if she gave it up, she'd have plenty that God would provide for her. I don't know about you, but that doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't make sense. But this is where she was asked to trust God, and she did. And I love this last verse. "The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord." You know, as the missionary William Carey that said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Another missionary by the name of Adoniram Judson, it was said that it took 12 years before 18 converts were brought into the fold. In 1822, after just having a small fledgling group of Christian converts, while he's in prison, there was a fellow prisoner during the war between Great Britain and Burma, and this fellow prisoner said to Burma, or to Judson, he said, "How will the heathen be converted?" To which Judson replied, "The prospects are just as bright as the promises." Now, I want to encourage you about something here today. As we go forth in ministry, could I encourage you to have faith how God will provide for us? I'm already praying here for our Vacation Bible School. I'm praying that God will do some mighty things for our Vacation Bible School. Now, I know some of you are looking at it and say, "Well, look, you know, we don't have all that many children to come by. It seems to be taking a lot of time for our children's ministry to grow." My friend, I want to just tell you something. God has told us to launch out. We're launching out, and we're trusting Him to go ahead and provide the children to come in. And we're going to see some great things. We're going to see some young people saved. We're going to see some young people surrender to ministry. I'm confident of the fact that there's going to be some great things happen. Why? Because you and I are going to step out by faith. Look, we've been tested already. There have been people that have been asked to do things, all of a sudden had to tail off of those things. Some other glitches that have come in the way. But I'm telling you, God is asking us to step out by faith. And when we step out by faith, I'll tell you what, the promises of God are going to come in a great way. Trust God. God has asked us to go out and to share His word with other people. You say, "Preacher, you know, I've been out numbers of times. I've never seen anybody trust the Lord. I mean, I go out, hardly anybody's home when I knock on doors." I want to just tell you something. God is going to do some great things through you. God's going to use you in a great way to see some people come to know Him because you have stepped out in faith. Prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. What a great story this is with regards to this man, Elijah. And God greatly used him. And he saw some wonderful things happen, but it began right here where God tested him in simple, childlike faith. What are you going through right now? What are you having a hard time trusting God for? Putting into God's hands. The way God's directing you, The things that he's allowing in your life, you say, preacher, I just don't understand it. My life's a mess right now. There are so many problems. Trust God. Trust him. God can take care of things greater than you and I can. Let's not us get in and mess things up, but let God take care of it. Trust the way of the direction that he's going, the places he's leading you, because he's trying to refine you. He's wanting to show you his word can be trusted. And so whatever it is that you're facing, may it be that you and I would trust God, even when the circumstances don't make sense. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing us.